Hey, podcasters. Clazy, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, the new bachelor, Matt Agnew.
We find out what it's like to be audited by the tax department.
VBT, that's in Victoria Bitter Tea, is coming your way.
Oh, just in time for the Ashes. And Matt catches up with his old mate, actor John Wood.
John Farnham headlines live in the Vines at Sandalford Estate, Swan Valley, December 8th.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
The Bachelor is back.
Hey!
Been a lot of hype about this one. I'm sure that Matt Agnew's name got dropped, what, 5-6 months ago?
Yes.
It does feel like it anyway, and the talk of him being an astrophysicist and all the rest of it, but he is on The Bachelor starting tomorrow night on Channel 10. He's on the line, mate. Welcome. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
We're very well, Matt. You're here. It's already done and dusted. It's happening. How were you meeting women before The Bachelor? What was going wrong? I mean, you're an astrophysicist. You're good looking. You're in shape. Something's
If you need it, man, you're killing us.
Yeah. How was I? I mean, not very good, apparently. The evidence says that I wasn't very good. But no, I think I wasn't doing anything inherently wrong. I think it was just a case of not meeting the right person yet.
Okay.
And, buddy, I guess, you know, because of what you do for a living and you seem like you're a together young man, the opinion would be, or the expectation would be, that you need a woman to match you intellectually. But that may not necessarily be true. Maybe you want to come home and have a partner who's, you know, really into her indoor cricket and sucking back a few cans and a few durries after a game.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think for me it's more about engaging conversation and having just an interest or a passion in something that they're excited about and keen to share with me. And so it doesn't have to be book smarts. That's not the requirement. It's just something that they're excited about.
Hey, Matt, being the Bachelor post-Honey Badger, did you find it easier or more difficult? Was there any implied pressure there?
No pressure for me. I went into it very, very optimistic and very open-minded. And I knew, I really backed myself that when the time came, I would make the right decision for me. And I 100% believe that, Nick made the right decision for him as well. And every Bachelor prior to us has as well. So, just kind of backed myself and went into it really excited.
Now, mate, people may think that all Breakfast Radio people are on Kyle Sandilands kind of money. We're not. I'm doing it pretty tough at the moment, and I know you can't tell me what happens, but I do notice that BetEasy are giving $17 on two contestants leaving with each other. If you could give me a helping hand on this, buddy, it would be great.
Look, you know, I'm on a pretty tight leash. I can't really let anything slip, mate. So okay. I wish I could. Sounds like you're on the bones of your ass.
He's the Barnaby Joyce of radio, mate. Mate, I know you have the qualification, so no disrespect, but the word astrophysicist, I've counted already. I'm playing, having a little game. See how many. I've got 28 from just the promos. Show hasn't started. It'll get bandied around more, won't it?
It does. And I was acutely aware of this as every time I was rolling it out. I mean, the reality is if one of them asks me what I do, I'm going to tell them. But if you take all of those responses and cut them up, then it looks like I'm a bit of a knobhead, really.
All right. Well, Matt, are you in love? Did you find the woman of your dreams?
I did. I'm in love.
Oh, okay. So now we just have to wait for that little package to unfold.
That's it. And it's a really, really exciting package. I think I hope you really enjoy it.
Oh, great. Good on you, buddy. Well done.
I don't have to watch the show now.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, it's tax time. It's my favourite subject.
It's a good and a bad thing.
It is a good and a bad thing. And just in case someone from the ATO is listening, I will be doing my tax this year for the last four
for 2014.
Years. So leave me alone. I'm coming.
It's why it's taking so long.
Don't send the boys around.
I thought you already did it.
Yeah, look, there was some mistakes.
It's complicated.
Okay. Right. But, of course, the big fear is about being audited. I mean, I've never been audited. Mm-hmm. Have you been audited?
No.
Can you say if you've been audited?
I believe you can, but I did read an article the other day where a young guy got audited twice in 2 years, successive years.
Yes.
And the red flags for the ATO were that he had done a lot of training and he put all of his training costs in. So they went, that's an exorbitant amount that he's claiming there.
Yeah.
And he got off scot-free. He was okay, but they can delay, your tax return while they're checking you out.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure
I
they
mean,
can.
Wouldn't it be smart for them to teach tax in schools? Because suddenly we get out and we're like, oh, we've got to do our own tax returns. And the ATO are just saying so many people have claimed that a recent review said out of 700,000 claims, and they were worth $2 billion in total, that 88% of them need to be amended because they're incorrect.
Yeah, but you say, shouldn't we learn about it in school? But, I mean, would you really think that you can claim your wedding on tax?
What's wrong with that?
Okay, but people are. I mean, the ATO are saying a couple of taxpayers claimed dental expenses, believing that a nice smile was essential to finding a job and therefore deductible.
Probably is. What
about, it's not.
How about gambling losses? Because it's really disappointing if you lose, you know, whether you're gambling responsibly or not. I know some people have tried that on.
Yeah, do you really need to go to school to know that that's probably not going to work?
Oh, did you see the one after that in the list?
Beer. Look, all these people are getting caught out because the ATO do auditing. Yeah. And so we want to hear from you. Have you been audited? What was the process like? I'd imagine it's very stressful.
Yeah, does a dude come with dark glasses and a dark suit?
Yeah, and a busy briefcase as well.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Yeah, it's tax time, and the ATO has told us you can't get your deductions for silly things like your wedding.
Yeah, or the guy who tried to claim $20,000 because raising twins is expensive.
It is. He's right.
Yeah.
What about gambling losses?
No.
Cut your losses?
A lot of people are trying to gain for things that they simply can't claim for.
That's right.
We want to know what it's like to be audited.
We do. Cheryl's in Duncraig. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, breakfast crew. How are you?
Good, thanks. What was it like to be audited?
Absolutely horrendous.
Was it?
Yes, it took about 6 months. I killed lots and lots of trees in the process because I had to provide photocopies of every bank statement we were signatory to.
That's a lot of paper, yep.
Yep, and the interview process was horrendous as well. Wanted to know lots of information. And at the end of the day, they owed us $10,000.
Oh, really?
Oh, so it was great to be audited. It was $10,000 for your hours and time that you did in the admin work there, Cheryl?
No. it was absolutely horrendous. It couldn't have happened at a worse time.
Sure.
And, we incurred our accountant's fees as a result of it.
Of course.
It was just a horrible, horrible, horrible process.
Now, were they pleasant, or did you feel like you've done something wrong from the get-go?
Oh, they were a bit accusational right from the very onset.
Mm. Oh, really?
They thought we were hiding money, that we were doing things underhanded in a cash basis. But my husband, everything was invoiced correctly, and GST was done correctly. And the reason that we had such a drop in our income was because we were affected by the travel industry downturn after 9/11.
Sure.
Right, okay. So you sort of felt a little bit like you were guilty until found innocent. That's horrible.
Absolutely.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Cheryl.
Good on you, Cheryl.
I'm glad you ended up having a bit of a win, although those costs were something you could have done without.
Dennis, you were audited and you might need to turn your radio down.
Yeah.
There we go.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, what do you got?
Yeah, a little while ago, I bought a small business.
Okay.
And we set up an accounting software, MYOB.
Yep, okay.
So we were audited. Two people came out in dark suits, skinny ties, and they said that you owe us $20,000.
Oh.
And we want it now. It's our money. Give it to us. And wait a minute. And I spoke to my accountant over a period of time. As a small business, we're allowed to pay off the $20,000 interest-free.
Yep.
Okay. All right. But it was a legitimate mistake and they found it and just wanted to sort it out.
Simplistically, yes. But
right.
They were straight away, you owe us money, give us the money, you owe us.
Oh, I can imagine. Right. It must be frightening when the men in black arrive.
Literally, they had the dark suit with the skinny ties, and they double team you.
Hello.
The other one asked you a question. It's like, wait a minute, who's asking the question? But yeah, like the other lady said, hundreds of pieces of paper that they want this. They want to see this invoice. They want to see this.
If they were smart.
Because I bought a business,
yeah.
And my monthly turnover or my quarterly went from, say, $10,000 to $250,000. So they suspected me of money laundering.
Oh, yeah. I would have investigated you too, Dennis. That sounds flat out like you're from Breaking Bad. Like,
yeah. Well, it sounds like it was either Men in Black or the Blues Brothers showed up with their skinny guys. Let's go to Palmelia. Laura, have you been checked out by the ATO?
Yes, we have. We had our own business, and we had an apprentice work for us, and he worked for us for a few years, and then the company that we subcontracted to decided to take over all the apprentices. So originally what they did was they paid us the money when they paid us, and then we paid the apprentice. Mm. But when they took over the apprentices, they actually didn't pay us that money anymore, so we had like a $20,000 drop in our income.
Right.
So two guys turned up at our house, same as the other
guys. Same two guys.
Yeah, probably. And they turned up in suits. We had to have all our paperwork for the last 5 years. They went through the fine tooth comb, and they wouldn't tell us what they were looking for. Yeah. The guys had to take the day off work. The accountant was at our house so that we had everything all ready. And they were there for hours, and in the end, we were just like, what are you looking for? And they said, well, there's a $20,000 discrepancy from your last financial year to this one, so you must be doing cash jobs. So we explained to them what had done, and they were just like, oh, is that what it is? Oh. And they were just like, oh, okay, yep, okay. And they literally packed up and left, and we said, well, when do we know when everything's all right? And they said, oh, we'll send you a letter. Yeah. 6 weeks later, we rang them up to find out what was going on. The guy goes, oh, sorry, we've been on holidays. We've got to, yeah, you're all in the clear. But it was just all cloak and dagger, like they wouldn't say anything. And they were doing the same thing, like one would ask you a question and then the other one, you know, they were trying to trick you into saying things that maybe weren't true.
Sure.
Well, and then they went on holidays.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they found a bag of cash.
$20,000
in their suits. They're laying by the pool in Bali.
Thanks to Laura, Dennis, Cheryl, and everyone else who called this morning. Fascinating seeing.
Yeah. Do your tax right.
Yeah. The heavy-handed tactics. That's interesting. Oh, it's 7:43.
You're in trouble.
Fear in Matt's eyes. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. We are 2 days away from the start of a new Ashes series in the cricket.
Yeah,
everything
baby.
That's gone on. Of course, the English controversially won the World Cup.
Yes.
That's starting to calm down, and we're going to see how things are in the long form of the game. And the hype has started to grow. There's lots of Aussies headed over to the UK for the series. A lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation. English cricket is on a high, let's be honest.
I'm going to have a lot of sleepless nights coming up.
Yeah. I'm going to have a lot of nights.
lots
and lots of nights.
Yeah, you're not going to be plugging in? I tell you what, VB, I mean, a lot of things happen around, a lot of promotional and marketing things happen around in Ashes series because it's so high profile. But VB, if you're sick of drinking warm beer in the English summer, VB put out a limited edition VB tea.
Victoria Bitter has brought out a cup of tea.
This is just a little bit different. A promotional push ahead of the Ashes, of course, 2 days from now.
Oh,
so you can just have a cup of tea, but it tastes like beer.
Does it make you feel like you feel when you have a Victoria Bitter, though? Wow. Does it give you that sense that you're a true Australian?
Well, there's no actual booze in the tea.
No.
So it is just tea with the VB label on it.
Does it make you feel like John Mellion?
Oh, John Mellion from all those years ago.
Oh, yes. Oh, you can get it talking, even late night stalking. You can get it walking around town or when you're having a lovely sit down. To be an old fart, you need a beer-tasting tea. And the best beer-tasting tea is Vic. Victoria Bitter.
Oh, eh? That works perfectly.
Yeah, I just made that up.
Yeah, but who wants to drink a warm beer? Think about warm beer.
Yeah, gross.
Well, people always say this about English beer, right? Mm. But if you have a proper English beer, it's meant to be room temperature because it's alive.
Yeah, but room temperature in England is cold, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And if you go to, you know, catch a train, get on the, what's it called over there?
The tube.
I was going to say the subway. If you get on, I mean, you go to get a drink at the newsagent or something and none of them they're not refrigerated. So all of their drinks are pretty much warm.
They're so bloody backward over
there. Oh, they're so
aren't
English.
They? Yeah.
But that's the weather, I guess. But, although right now you'd be struggling.
It's very hot.
It's very hot. Yeah, imagine if it's going to be 36 for the first day of the test. I think you'd want a VBT.
You would. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with
Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie. On Channel 7, you'll see the all-new Monty. 7:30 tonight, a host of Australian celebrities.
Getting their kid off.
Getting the kid off for men's health and raising awareness for men's health. And veteran Australian actor John Wood is on the line. He's part of the lineup tonight. John, Woody, welcome, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Very well, thank you, John. Now, John, I'm going to start by saying back in the day, my mum worked late nights, and on a Thursday night, my dad would put me and my siblings to bed and then sneak out to go and pick her up. And it'd be about a 20-minute trip. And every single time he did that, me and my siblings would sneak out of bed and turn on the TV and watch Rafferty's Rules.
And you
were our secret for years. I mean, the kids who sneak out now to watch you on the Full Monty, they're going to get a different kind of surprise.
Well, they're going to get... I don't know how surprising it'll be, but you must be about a certain age now.
Oh, mid-30s?
Mid-30s.
Yeah, we used to love it, surprisingly.
Mid-30s is a lot better than the early 70s, I can tell you.
Oh, come on.
Doing all right, buddy. And what better way, you know, to celebrate your, what is it, whatever that decade is, of getting your kid off?
Yeah, well, it's not something I had actually planned, but it fell to me and I took up the challenge, yeah.
John, I was telling the guys off air that I had the great pleasure of working with you doing David Williamson's The Club, and still one of the highlights of my career is where my character gives John's character a smoke on something that is illegal.
Oh, yeah.
And seeing an audience absolutely lose it watching John Wood acting stoned was a real highlight.
It was one of the highlights of my career, I'll tell you that. It was, and that was a wonderful production. Extraordinary cast. You couldn't get a better cast anywhere in the world, I wouldn't think, to do that play.
Time flies so quickly. Our Matt and your Matt. You know, he's been here 3.5 years now. Is there anything you can tell us about Matt Dytinsky we may not know at this stage? Are there any secrets
that people may not know about Matt?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something you might not know about Matt. Have you told him about Strange Bedfellows, Matt?
Not a lot, no.
He was wonderful. He had all the comic chops for that. We did a wonderful dance, learning how to mince.
I'm writing this down, Strange Bedfellows.
It was fabulous, but unfortunately, the show never got up.
Yeah, that was a great shame. It was a really good show, yeah.
Well, John, anyway, we are looking forward to seeing you in the Full Monty. Good on you for giving it a go. We need all different types and bodies and ages and everybody up there to support men's health because it's all for a good cause. And so good on you for putting yourself on the line.
Well, I hope you enjoy the show. I mean, there's not much on display, I don't think. But,
we'll be the judges of that.
There's plenty of pyrotechnics and confetti, but
don't worry, we'll look at you.
Working alongside such champions as Dipper and Fev.
Dipper. You know,
waiting for an opportunity to get their kid off.
Dipper couldn't wait.
No, you could see that.
Absolutely.
Dipper wanted to take his gear off the first rehearsal.
Yeah. Thanks, John. All the best.
All of us to you.
Breakfast with the Lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Hey! Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
Cold.
She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jim King missed.
Oh, we'll get you some gloves, mate.
Well, this might warm you up. Now, we know that they're testing our wee-wee, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Always looking for meth.
Always looking for meth. True. And we found out that WA is doing really well in the meth stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were right up there.
World champs.
But it's not just us, because police in Tennessee have asked residents not to toss their drugs down the toilet, right? Because they're worried that meth infested water could go into the rivers and create meth gators.
Oh, dear. Pray for me, boy.
Wow.
Yeah. Police in Tennessee are saying, look, they caught a man who was trying to, you know, put it down the toilet.
Yep. Well, that's what they do when the police rock up. You see it in all the movies.
They put
it straight down the toilet, because otherwise if it's on your person, someone's getting busted.
Well, that's right. And, of course, that will go straight into the water system.
Into the system.
We don't want that. They're saying it could create, drug-affected alligators and give ducks and geese quite a hit.
Oh,
because they like, floating on the filtration ponds.
Mm.
So there's a huge problem. And, of course, that they've got already the Tennessee River. They've got problems with gators.
Right. Right. Could it perhaps slow the gators down and make them less dangerous? Or make them more dangerous?
I don't know of a lot of meth that does that, Claire. It's not like having a chamomile tea.
But an alligator brain as opposed to a human?
I like where you're going with that. Look, let's go to an expert, the mayor of Loretto County, Skeeter Jones.
Last thing we need around here is gators high on methamphetamine. We already got enough trouble with the gators drinking too much alcohol, fighting, biting people for no reason, driving their vehicles erratically. Last thing we need is meth gators. People need to stop putting their narcotics down the toilet.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously very impassioned about all of this.
He's got a pretty tinny phone too. But
he does, yeah.
But a real sense of authority still.
Yeah absolutely.
Real cutthroat. So anyway, basically stop flushing.
Although think of the gators.
Think of the gators. And it does, you know, it does give the cistern a nice cleanse.
Mm.
But, go, you know, just keep using toilet duck.
Clean gators, yeah. We just need a bit more drilling banjos just to wrap things up there.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
The juice.
Oh, you tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Nine's Ninja Warrior got its first Aussie winner last night, despite him not reaching Mount Midoriyama.
Okay. Failure.
The top four ninjas all fell on the same obstacle, so the winner was determined by furthest and fastest.
The winner of Australian Ninja Warrior for 2019 and the $100,000 prize goes to...
Charlie Rodder!
Can I ask you a question straight off the bat? Why the big pause?
I know.
Surely everyone knew who was the fastest and who went the furthest.
No, they didn't show anyone the timer. So the timer was removed.
See, that's what confused me. I only turned on for that end result. I thought they'd know.
No, the timer was removed and all four competitors fell off in exactly the same obstacle. So they had to determine by who got there fastest and who got the furthest.
Oh, I'm sorry I was so cynical. So it was like
It was like a countback, like the Cricket World Cup.
Yeah, we didn't know. And Charlie Robbins was the unassuming competitor in his golf clothes and grandpa hat, but he did every obstacle with ease.
Good on you.
In your wildest dreams, did you ever think that you would be the champion?
Not in my wildest dreams. This is unbelievable. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, this is surreal. I feel like I'm going to wake up and it's all just going to be, I'm going to be sitting in bed.
Now, if you're wondering how golf equipped Charlie with such skills, here's what Nine kept a secret from you.
Oh.
Charlie is actually a gymnast and a coach at Peninsula Gymnastics in Victoria.
Okay.
So he's more a gymnast. He's been a gymnast since the age of four and he started training on ninja-specific obstacles about 2.5 years ago. He said that filming was the hardest challenge because he would start at 7:30 a.m. and they'd do a couple of interviews and some safety stuff. And then he didn't get on his obstacle course until 1:30 in the morning.
Really?
So it was 16 hours of just sitting around.
Oh, dear.
And they were coming in five at a time going, next five, and you never knew if it was going to be you. So it was, you know, a lot of anticipation, but he's won 100K for his trouble, so I'm sure he's fine.
The fact that he was a gymnast didn't fit in with their narrative of him being a golfer.
No, apparently he turned up on the first day wearing a golf shirt so that he would stand out.
Okay.
But he does actually play golf with his granddad and stuff, but he just thought, oh, well, why don't I just look a bit different to the others?
Yeah, they look very Ed Sheeran too.
And they ran with it. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Woodstock 2.0 has been an absolute debacle.
Yeah.
It's meant to be the 50th tribute to the original Woodstock Festival, but sponsors pulled out when they saw the lineup saying, look, it's just not good enough to be called Woodstock.
Really?
And now the Merriweather Post Pavilion in Columbia, Maryland says, we'd love to host the 3-day festival. Just bring it here.
It's not the Merriweather pub here in Perth.
No. They were like...
the guy who did the fire festival.
Yeah, I mean, the plan was that they were wanting to get... the original plan was to get 150,000 people to central New York State.
Yeah. Right.
And now that that's not going to happen, good old Maryland have said, oh, well, we'll give the tickets away. If everyone comes here and you can put the show on, we'll give the tickets away.
Nice.
Don't think it's going to happen. Okay. It's probably time that the organisers just put this one to bed.
Yeah, the lineup they talked about was like Chance the Rapper, The Killers, and some of the originals like David Crosby from Crosby, Stills and Nash and John Fogerty from Creedence, who were there in 1969.
But it's just not good. I mean, The Killers, I mean, they play every second festival.
Black
like,
Keys.
I mean, you can see them anywhere.
Jay-Z as well.
Yeah, it's not Woodstock. Now, if you loved Baz Luhrmann's Moulin Rouge, the stage show is coming, kinda. The stage production of Moulin Rouge will be in Melbourne from 2021.
No matter your sin, you're welcome here. No matter your desire, you're welcome here.
For this is more than a nightclub. The Moulin Rouge is a state of mind.
Victorian Premier Dan Andrews revealed the news on social media, and the $40 million show will be at the Regent Theatre, but not before the venue undergoes a $19.4 million renovation.
Okay.
It'll be ready. It's been touring overseas with glowing reviews, but do not expect to see Nicole Kidman or Ewan McGregor.
Okay.
No. And that's right. Your daily juice.
Hey, comprehensive. Well done.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Beautiful day in Perth today.
It is.
But there will be a lot of young people after school who will be in their bedrooms playing Fortnite.
Yeah, they'll be saying, Mum, Dad, why should I do my homework? Why go out and get a degree that won't get me the job that I want? I could make $3 million playing Fortnite.
Well, some people
some
can.
Some people.
In the States, a 16-year-old from Pennsylvania, Kyle Booga Giersdorf, has won $4.2 million Australian dollars at the Fortnite World Cup.
My God.
$4.2 million for playing a computer game.
Okay, yeah. So I've never seen Fortnite, but of course I'm aware because it's become this cultural phenomenon, and I've just looked it up that it's obviously an online game where, you know, it's like a shooter survival game where you fight off zombie-like creatures and defend objects with fortifications.
And when it's in front of a live audience, listen to this.
Another elimination. How about a second? Booga, what are you doing? Two elims come in. He's back up to near full HP. In the top 10, and he's got all the materials he could ever need. Booga, how are you making this happen?
There you go. It's like, you know, massive sports coverage.
I still prefer salmon upstream to spawn myself personally, but
you
go.
You know, Kyle needed really supportive parents for this. He needed parents that allowed him to spend 16 hours a day in his bedroom playing Fortnite and not going outside or getting any vitamin D.
Probably racking up a fair bill for extras if he's playing online.
Yeah.
Can add up pretty quickly.
Good on you.
They're super happy now.
Oh, yeah.
Booger, yes, Dad, can I have some of your $4.3 million, please?
Oh, yeah. No, he'd be the manager.
He's got no social skills, but he's okay.
He's okay.
He's got RSI.
But I don't know. Maybe your kid, maybe I'm just jealous. Maybe kids are just going to be more successful than us. That's how they're going to be. They're a more successful generation. If they can make money off YouTube and they can make money off video games, then power to them.
I am all for it. I'll get Steppy D working in the mines as quickly as possible so I can enjoy a life of leisure and Tim Tam.
It's funny when I introduce my kids to tennis rackets at a young age, they just look the other way. And I'm thinking, oh, I could be like, you know, one of those tennis dads.
Serena Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Williams.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
No, it's hard to force your kids to do stuff. But is your kid more successful than you? Maybe they're entrepreneurial. Maybe they've got some ideas in place. Maybe they're just out there really like making money and doing what they can.
And I can imagine there'll be parents looking at their children who are like, obviously going to be successful or already are going, where did you come from?
Little entrepreneurs. You see them on the street when they won't drop their lemonade price and you go, this kid's good.
Yes.
You know, fancy you trying to get a cheaper lemonade.
Trying to go half price, kid.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Are the kids a little more successful than you? Got that entrepreneurial spirit you may not have?
Oh, making $4.3 million playing a computer game at the Fortnite World Cup.
He did well. 16-year-old who's now got $4.2 million in the bank. And we want to know, is your kid more successful than you, Joanne in Bicton?
Hi.
What are your kiddies doing? You've got a daughter who's doing a bit?
Yeah, my daughter, she's 7. And a couple of months ago, she decided that instead of giving me her beautiful drawings that she was making every day, she'd start charging me for them.
Oh, smart child.
She told me that they were so beautiful, they were worth at least $1. So this started a few months ago, and, you know, buy these drawings and boost her confidence, and always great. And then just last week, I said to her, she said, you come into my drawing shop on me. And I said, oh, look, I haven't got any money in my purse. And she said, oh, I can lend you some. I've got money. And I said, how much you got? $136 in her purse.
Joanne, you've bought too much art.
It's Picasso.
I know. I mean, I've got a beautiful display on my fridge and on my wall.
Yeah.
But, it ends up she's got more money than me in my purse now.
That is amazing.
That's hilarious. And you've been playing along feeding it, Joanne. Well done.
Yep.
Well, that hopefully you'll sell one of those at Sotheby's for $8.7 million in a few years.
Yeah. hopefully, I'll keep them very safe.
Good art is an investment, Joanne. Well done.
I think maybe charge people to come to the gallery opening.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, make some back.
Yeah, and it just doesn't pay to be too supportive as a parent, does it? But you said they were good. Why wouldn't you buy them?
Well, if you think about this 16-year-old that won the World Cup, you know, at Fortnite, yeah. And he won more than Tiger Woods won at the Masters. Think about Tiger Woods' dad in the old days when he was a kid.
Yeah.
He was the gun winning all of that money in golf. So it's that thing where you go, oh, the kid's more successful than me.
Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, this has upset me. I have to say, because, you know, I gave up drinking about 4.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I loved to drink too much, so I stopped it. And I turned to an old friend, a cup of tea and a biscuit.
Oh, yes, you do love a cup of tea.
Get a great joy out of both of those things.
Yeah, or several of the biscuits with the cup.
Several of those biscuits. Yeah. And I put my hand up. I find it hard as that kind of personality to stop at one of anything.
Right,
Let alone a Scotch finger. Mm. Or a Kingston,
mm-hmm.
or a Tim Tam. Mm. I love them.
Yep.
Rip that bag open.
What's
Rip
the problem? Who's trying to ruin your fun?
Well, they're saying now that this sort of comfort eating that we all understand, we've all been there, is actually the new health risk. Now, the idea of obesity isn't new,
mm-hmm.
and we know that there's a lot of sugar and bad things in these biscuits.
Yeah, of course.
But to get them singled out like this, because they're saying certainly in Britain, that women particularly are eating two biscuits too many every time they have a biscuit hit.
What I'm curious about is it depends whether you've eaten two to start with and you're having two too many, or you've had six and then you've had two too many.
And I'm not getting any clear guidelines here, Kim, but that's the worrying thing. And not only that, when I go to look it up, it's like just to torment me, I punched into the search engine, you know, about this story. How many biscuits is too many?
Right.
The first website that comes up tells me that it uses cookies.
Oh, no.
So, it's torture.
It's so disturbing, isn't it?
Also, God damn it, you guys are allowed to drink two more extra beers or two more wines than we are when we go out. So I want my two extra biscuits.
You're talking about body mass. That
kind
of thing.
Okay. Come on. I mean, something's got to give.
Well, look, I mean, the alarming thing is, of course, we know the rise in diabetes type 2. We know the rise in obesity.
Of course.
They're saying that obesity by 2043 will far outstrip smoking-related illness.
Mm.
So, I mean, obviously it's very serious.
So you know those two chocolate-covered digestives I had this morning?
Yes.
So I should have had one?
Too many.
Too many. I'm not allowed a biscuit at all.
Can I just say that as you quietly scoffed it over there, I watched every mouthful.
Did you really?
Thinking, where's mine?
How about the second
selfish,
one?
Selfish man.
I paid for them.
Were they my favourites, McVitie's?
I'm not saying anymore. Oh. I don't want to upset you anymore.
They're not your favourites. They're like cardboard covered in chocolate.
CT, my partner, thinks the same thing. I tried to explain. I said to her, it reminds me of a simpler time.
Oh, hang on. I didn't say that in my contract. Got to bring Matt biscuits in the morning.
But bloody hell, you know, we're going to get attacked for what we eat.
Fancy ending our morning like that.
I know.
And beware the cookies, mate.
There are few biscuits worthy to be called classic.
Sorry, mate.
That's why only your special favourites go into Arnott's classic selection. But naturally, the Scotch finger.
The great thing is that apparently all of the herbicides and chemicals that we're putting into the environment are fine.
They're okay.
They're fine. It's what we're doing to ourselves. That's the problem.
Some more wheat, shall we?
Yeah.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
So I went and saw the preview of the movie Blinded by the Light, the Bruce Springsteen-based movie last night.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Full house at the movies there at Innaloo last night. And I came to work and I did say to you, I was sort of joking, but I said, how was the movie? And I said, bend it like Springsteen.
Okay.
Because it's been made by the director, very successful director in Gurinder Chadha, who's been very successful with movies like Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging. And it's been 17 years since she made Bend It Like Beckham.
Really?
Oh, right.
2002. Keira Knightley was pretty much a kid, let's be honest. Now, the simple way of looking at this movie is to say, you think about Bend It Like Beckham and you take the Indian, the girl of Indian descent living in England who's obsessed by soccer and replace her with a Pakistani teenage boy who's obsessed by Bruce Springsteen. That's the simplistic view. Hence the Bend It Like Springsteen. But this is a lot more complex than that because this one shows, this is based in the UK in Maggie Thatcher's Britain, so near the end of her reign, 1987.
Mm.
And there was they do focus a lot on the racism that was going on and the hatred for the Pakistanis and how they were moving into communities and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this movie, it has a flash of that and then it will be a musical And everyone's running out. The first song that he hears is this one. So this is going to get you going, let's be honest. Dancing in the Dark is the first Springsteen song that the boy hears.
Yep.
Been turned on to the boss by one of his schoolmates. And then he goes through the whole gamut of the Springsteen back catalogue. And it alters him. He becomes more confident. He gets a girlfriend. And at times, like, I'm not quite sure what the movie's trying to be.
Yes.
It's got some beautiful, joyous scenes because the music is so damn good.
Yeah.
But at times I'm going, yeah, he falls in love and stuff like that, and without giving too much away. But there are times when I go, is it a musical? Because there are only three or four times where he starts singing in the street. And most musicals, everyone's accepting. But in this one, his mate goes, what are you doing, mate? So it's actually just a little weird.
It comments on itself almost.
Fact that he's singing in the street.
Right.
As so opposed to joining in.
Do you get a lot of Springsteen through it?
So much Springsteen. There are so many songs. And, of course, the movie's called Blinded by the Light. So one of the most famous Bruce Springsteen songs of all was Blinded by the Light, which was a huge hit. Oh, there we go. This is from the movie itself.
I can feel it all right here. It's like Bruce knows everything I've ever felt. Everything I've ever wanted. You think that this man sings for people like us? But he talks to me.
Is that Billy Joel?
Billy Joel? You try and raise your kids right, Jay.
So many great 80s references and some really bad 80s hair. So the wigs, the costume department went nuts with the wigs.
And I think we can all relate to that feeling when you're that age that you do feel like musicians are writing just for you. I felt that about Tony Basil.
Mickey,
yeah. I thought she knows what I'm thinking.
Are you taking the Mickey? So this one's interesting. Be prepared, though, that it does break into a musical. There's been quite a few of them lately.
Oh, Kimber's out.
Oh, God, there's far too many of them.
Especially when you went and saw Rocket Man, you weren't expecting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there were some really joyous, like I say, joyous scenes in Blinded by the Light. It's out later on in August.
How many cracks?
I'd give it a 3.5. Okay. If I had to give it a crack. How many Springsteens?
Now, the moment you've been waiting for all morning. It's Captain Paul's joke of the day.
Yeah, look, no wonder I don't use the dictionary anymore. Look,
anymore?
Should we stop there? Hey, yeah, I looked up opaque in the dictionary.
Yes.
And the definition wasn't very clear.
Yeah, we should have gone out a bit earlier, eh?
Yeah, I think we should have played another song.
John Farnham headlines live in the Vines at Sandalford Estate, Swan Valley, December 8th.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.